we're going to see a little bit of somebody being somewhere he doesn't necessarily want to be. Can you think of this? Sometimes in your life, you're worn out. You're just broken, and you just want to be somewhere to rest. And that was the situation for our friend Peter, the disciple, the apostle Peter, the head of the Christian church. Amen? And Peter, in Acts chapter 9 and chapter 10, we're gonna do a lot of scripture reading today. Is that okay? So in Peter, Acts chapter 9 and chapter 10, he had the opportunity to be somewhere that he didn't want to be. Like, read with me. I'm going to have to take out the readers. I passed 45 a couple years back, so I'm going to have to put the specs on. Chapter 9, verse 32 says, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately, so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." He had a purpose. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of God, of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her and laid her in the upper room, and since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and the widow stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner." I'm going to stop right there. That verse right there, it says, "So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner." Sometimes God puts you in a place to prepare you for a much more powerful and more important service that he has for you. Sometimes God puts you in a place where you may not ever want to be, for the sole purpose of preparing you for his service. Now Peter was prepared. Peter is a man after God's own heart. Peter was a man that truly believed that he wanted to do God's will. He was the Jew of Jews. Peter was ready to serve the Lord. But God put him somewhere where he never thought he'd be. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Now, in the Bible, the occupation of tanner was never mentioned until this verse. And what you're going to find is two more times this occupation is mentioned. What is a tanner? Well, a tanner is a person that prepares hides of animals to make them into leather. So the tanner deals with dead animals. The tanner deals with nasty stinky, dead animals. Now think about this. We're talking about Peter. Peter is a follower of Jewish law. Yes, he is a believer in Christ, but he is a follower of the Jewish law. For a Jew to be associated with dead animals, some of them unclean, is ritually unclean. It's not going to happen. Jews did not deal with dead animals unless, of course, that was your role in life, that was your position, that was your job, like Simon the Tanner. Now, a tanner is usually somebody who is an outcast because Jewish people didn't deal with the dead animals. Now, think about this. The tanner's house was typically on the outskirts of town near the sea. The tanner's house is a place where people didn't typically come to visit. The tanner, constantly dealing with the dead animals and their skins, probably wasn't exactly the freshest of smelling people back in those days. A tanner was not the number one guy to hang out with, but God chose to have Peter staying at the tanner's house. Today's message is entitled "At the Tanner's House." We're going to talk a little bit about the tanner's house. Why is it so significant? What does it mean to be at the tanner's house? The reality is there are prejudices that are addressed in the tanner's house. God can prepare your heart at the tanner's house. God can speak to you at the tanner's house. And from the tanner's house, God can use you. Let's look at this and get a little bit deeper and dig into this just a little bit more, because we really need to understand what Peter was going through at the tanner's house and understand why God would have him at the tanner's house. Amen? So, chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always about the ninth hour of the day. And he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And watch this. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now, here we see a Gentile who was a believer in God. He respected God. He respected God's laws. He prayed regularly. And God had decided he is going to reward him. Now, when you're talking about a Jew who is now getting ready to come into contact with a Gentile, now we're talking about a serious conflict of interest. Amen? Now, the reality is, the reason that Peter is at the tanner's house is because there's some things that need to be addressed in Peter's life. Maybe there's some things that need to be addressed in your life. Maybe there's some things that need to be addressed in my life. Here's the thing. We all have our prejudices. We all have things that we like and we don't like. It may be that guy that has the dog that lives across the street that he tends to put on a leash, walk across the street to your yard, let him do his business, and then walk his dog back across the street to his yard. Maybe it's that employer that you're the best manager on your job, but that other guy keeps getting the promotions. Maybe it's that kid that lives up the street that you know he's taking the stuff out of your yard, and you just can't stand him. You can't catch him, but it's, you know, it's him. Maybe it's that white guy or that black guy that you don't like him just because of the color of his skin. Maybe it's the Mexican person that you see on the street or in a store filling up their cart with groceries, and you got a problem with that. There's some things that Peter needed to address. There's a reason that God put him in a place where he would be uncomfortable. See, the reality is, a true Jewish person would not associate with someone who deals with dead animals. That person is considered ritually unclean. A true Jewish person, someone who follows the Jewish customs and laws, they're going to stay away from anything dead or anything that is unclean, especially many of the animals that the tanner has to process are animals that are considered spiritually unclean. Many of the people that we come across and deal with may not be believers, may not be Christians, may get on your nerves, and we're considering them unclean. Well, God put Peter in this position for the sole purpose of helping him to understand that nothing is unclean once he said it's clean. See, here we go. Think about this. A Gentile has been told by God to send for Peter, a Jew, so that he could be blessed. Now, in the old Peter's mind, that ain't gonna work. Let's watch what happens. Verse 5, now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continuously. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. At the tanner's house, God speaks. At the tanner's house, God speaks. Peter, understanding that, you know, I'm in this place that I don't want to be, that I'm not used to being. I'm in this place that's foreign to me because I want to stay clean. So I want to stay away from this stuff. This is where I'm at. So Peter does what any good Jewish person, even a good Christian, would do. Peter says, I'm going to pray. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. It's funny how when God wants to talk to us, when God wants to speak to us, he tends to meet us where we're at. You ever just been really hungry? You're just hungry. And you know you got something on your heart, that God is weighing on your heart. And God speaks through you, to you, right where you're at, through your hunger. God speaks to you right where you're at, through those pains in your stomach. I remember, you know, years ago when I was in the Army Reserves, and we were in the field at Fort McClellan, Alabama, and all we had was these nasty old MREs to eat. And sometimes you just don't want to eat them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You just don't want to eat the MRE. But when you get hungry enough, that MRE, it tastes real good. If you get hungry enough, that MRE tastes real good. You even trade and stuff. And hey, you got one? Yeah, man. Like, you eat. Sometimes God will speak to you in that weakest point and help you to realize where you are and why you're where you are. Y'all see what I'm saying? Y'all see where I'm going with this? Listen to what happens with Peter. And then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Can you imagine a man of Peter's stature, a man who is a devout Jew? He would never, never consume anything unclean. He wouldn't even touch it. And God sends a message to him in a vision of all kinds of unclean animals and says to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Sometimes God's going to ask us to do stuff that we just don't want to do. It takes us totally outside of our comfort zone. The fact that Peter was staying at the house of the tanner, that wasn't bad enough. So then God's going to ask him to eat that which is unclean. See what's happening here? God is challenging Peter from his core. God has challenged Peter from the inside. Peter had an internal prejudice against a certain people group, people who were not like him. Peter had an internal prejudice against people that were not Jewish people. I think sometimes we as Christians, we can have an internal prejudice against those that are not Christians. You know, sometimes when you're driving down the street and that car pulls up next to you and it's got the big bass hitting all hard and you think to yourself, "I wish they'd turn that mess down." You know that some of us are like that. I remember one day I was at the gas station and this guy, he was standing there at the gas station. He had all his hip-hop gear on and he was just bopping, you know. He had his headphones on and I'm like, oh, judgment, judging people. That was me. I go into the gas station, and then as I'm walking out, he says, "Hey, bro, can I ask you a question?" I was like, "I know he's going to ask me for money, right?" He says to me, "If you were to die today, brother, do you know where you would go?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be in heaven with my Lord and Savior. How about you?" He says, "Absolutely, good to meet you, my brother, in Christ." I'm judging him because I'm looking at him a certain way. And I'm prejudiced. I have prejudice in my heart. What is going on with Peter? When God put Peter in the tanner's house, God helped Peter to understand no matter how important you think you might be, you're going to sit right here in the tanner's house until you understand that nobody is important other than me. God put Peter in the tanner's house for the sole purpose of breaking down prejudices, breaking down ideologies, breaking down different cultural ideas so that he could be useful for the kingdom. Now, the question is, are we going to be useful for the kingdom? Are we going to allow God to use us? Are we going to allow God to break down the prejudices that we have in our heart so that we can show people the Christ inside us? Amen. That's what we're here for. Our goal in life should be one purpose. How can I make God look good? How can I glorify God by my walk? How can I glorify God by what I say and by what I do? The song says, say yes. Yes to his will. Yes to his way. The reality is, God speaks in the tanner's house. He's in the tanner's house. Peter is on the rooftop praying and asking God, what should I do? And God gives him the answer. And what's Peter's response? Not so, Lord. How many times has that been my response? How many times has that been your response? I still remember when I was called into ministry. I remember I was selling Yellow Page advertisement, and I'd go into a place, and the guy would say, you know, man, there's something about you. I know what it is. God's using you to do this because he's going to use you in ministry one day. Man, please, not so. Not so. There was no way I thought I was going to be up here speaking to you about Christ, about God. But the reality is, that is what God does. He takes people who you would never have thought. My wife could tell you, she never thought I would be a Christian, for one thing, less known, be up here speaking about God. Amen? She'll tell you. She's back there shaking her head. But God speaks at the tanner's house. The reality is, not only did God speak just the one time, he says here, Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Why are we so hard-headed? That's my question, because it seems like in order for me to get something from God, it's like he's got to say it to me not once, not twice, three times, sometimes more. Sometimes he's got to say it over and over again because it's so hard up there. Peter's the exact same way as me. I felt so comforted in knowing that it wasn't just me. Even the great apostle Peter is hard-headed. And he says, and this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. See, God speaks in the tanner's house. God is letting us know, you know what? You may think you're one thing or the other, but the reality is you are nothing. You're nobody. You do what I ask you to do, and that's all that matters. Amen. And Peter is starting to realize that. He's slowly coming around. Slowly coming around. In the tanner's house, it's nasty. It's not a place you want to hang out. It smells. It reeks. It's the reason it's by the seaside, because they use the salt water to try to get the odor out. Can you imagine? You are the leader of the church of Jesus Christ. And the place that God has you to lodge is the tanner's house. See, God's doing something with Peter. God is making some changes for Peter on the inside, helping him change his mind, change his thought process. You know, it's not about, oh, I'm this great Jew anymore. The reason that God put Peter in the tanner's house was to cut off that prejudice. It doesn't matter that you're a Jew. What matters is you're God's. Each one of you has an opportunity every day to show the God in you to somebody. Each one of us has an opportunity every day to allow somebody to see Christ through us. We don't even have to mention the name of Christ. Sometimes it's just about the way you handle yourself in a situation. Sometimes it's just about the way you talk to somebody or you greet somebody. Sometimes it's just about the way you live, the way you act, the things you do for people. I own a mattress store, and I had a lady come into my store one day, and she was looked like nine and a half months pregnant. Big. And she was trying to get a mattress for her and her kids, and they had just moved into an apartment, and they were sleeping on the floor. And, you know, she tried everything. We tried to get her credit and everything. Could not get her financed or anything. Nothing was working for her. And my wife looked at me. She had that look in her face, and I think I had the same look on my face. The lady and her husband walked out, and after they left, Pam and I both said at the same time, we should give her a mattress. So I called her back up, and I said, I'm not going to mention, I don't even remember her name, to be honest with you. I said, my wife and I, we just talked about it, and we want to give you a mattress so you and your kids don't have to be on the floor. And I said, we're going to give you a bed frame, and we're going to deliver it and set it up for you as well. So me and my delivery guy, we go to this apartment. It's in the Raleigh, I think it's off of Raleigh Boulevard. And we take the mattress in there to the apartment. They had been sleeping on a floor that wasn't even carpeted. And she, I mean, I'm telling you, she was big and pregnant. Those are things that, as believers, if you have the ability to do, you should help people if you can. That is our job. You know, she knew that I was a minister. I made it known to her prior to even talking to her about the mattress. We talked about other things, you know. And, you know, I've invited her to church. I don't know if she's here, if she's even come before. To be honest with you, it was a while back, so I don't even remember what she looks like. A police officer for 10 years, I don't remember faces. But the reality is, our job as Christians is to show Christ in everything we do. Everything. And as we go through life, we're given opportunities, and we should take those opportunities. Amen? So God speaks to our hearts at the Tanner's house. Peter, he got an understanding of, you know, what it means not to be prejudiced. God helped him. See, the reality is we're thinking about the food being unclean, but it's not even about the food. That whole vision was not about food. That vision was about people. That vision was about people. There's no unclean people. If somebody came in here, a devout Muslim, that person is not unclean. That is somebody who is confused and just needs to be reached. That's somebody that needs to understand who the true God is, who Christ is, and how we can help him to learn and to become a Christian. That's what our job is. That's our goal. So you kind of see this. And then as we go forward to verse 19, you see, while Peter thought about the vision that he had just had, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to them, to the men whom had been sent to him from Cornelius, and said, "Yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has good reputation among all nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. Now, think about this. You know, again, we're talking about a devout Jew. We're talking about a devout Jew whose heart has been changed, because any other time those Gentiles come to Peter's door, I don't know why y'all here, but y'all need to get out of the way, because Jews did not associate with Gentiles. But what we saw was a heart being changed. Point number two, at the Tanner's house, hearts are changed. At the Tanner's house, hearts are changed. See, Peter is going to meet Cornelius. And the following day, they enter Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am a man." Peter understood not only what his purpose was, but he also understood who he was. I'm just a man, Cornelius. Please, on your feet. It's not like the Gentiles who worship their emperors. I'm just a man. We worship the one and true God. Amen? So then he says, "Stand up. I myself am a man." And he talked with him. He went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, watch this. He said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation? But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Did you guys catch that? He said, God told me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, I'm about to hit you with something. When I read that the first time, I just thought, yeah, Jewish people thought everybody that wasn't Jew was unclean. Then I thought about Christian people. You know, we have this thing, you know, that we do. If you have certain sins, we don't want to associate with you. There's a bunch of sins. You know, anything that's not like God, it's a sin, right? Isn't that right? That's what I was told. And my Bible kind of says that. But there's certain ones that we want to point out more than any of the others. Oh, if you're a murderer, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. You're unclean. If you're a homosexual, I don't want to have nothing to do with you because you're unclean. Or you're a thief, you're in and out of jail all the time. I don't want to have nothing to do with you because you're unclean. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, "For what reason have you sent for me?" The reality is, nobody is unclean. Anybody has the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ, and you have a responsibility of letting them know who he is. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting till this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, "Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner." At the tanner's house, hearts are changed. At the tanner's house, God speaks to men. At the tanner's house, God can put you to work. As we read on, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." No partiality. Jew, Gentile, black, white. sinners of all sin. Fornicators, homosexuals, robbers, murderers. These are all people that need to know Christ. These are all people who are looking at you, looking at me, and reading the Christ in our life. These are the people that are looking at us and looking at our walk. When I say walk, they're looking at how you live your life. They're looking to see if you truly are what you say you are. And if you are what you say you are, that change that you had from the inside of your heart can spill over to somebody else's heart. See, what I said this morning was God uses people who've had a heart change on the inside of their heart to change the hearts of people who need to be changed. Something like that. It sounded better this morning for some reason. But the reality is, we have a responsibility. And Peter took that bull by the horn. And he said, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word of God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of that of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. See, God uses people at the tanner's house. Peter, at this point, allowed God to use him to preach the gospel to Gentiles. Think about this. Before Peter stayed at the tanner's house, the gospel was being shared to Jews. But after going to the tanner's house and realizing that just because I'm Jew doesn't mean I'm all that. Just because I am the leader of the Christian religion doesn't mean I'm all that. All it means is I am a vessel. And Peter, realizing at this point that I am a vessel and I can call no man unclean, at this point he's able to share God's grace and love to people who normally he would not even have any association with because they were unclean. Now he realizes in his heart and in his mind that all those ideas of superiority of the Jewish race compared to anybody else is false. The reality is God is a God of all people. And God wants his name and his son's name spread throughout the world, through all of the world. And had it not been for the tanner's house, you, me, and any other Gentile would not know Christ. Of course, if Peter had been disobedient and not followed God's will, he would have used a different way. But let's just think of it like this. If Peter hadn't followed Christ's command and Christ hadn't used somebody else, we wouldn't know him. We wouldn't have the opportunity to have eternal life with Christ. It's the tanner's house. Have you been to the tanner's house? It's so cool. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. These are the words that Peter spoke to Gentiles. And then the word follows it with this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When I read that, when I look at that, and I think about everything that God put in place so that I could have a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Everything that he put in place, how he broke down the prejudice, how he showed Peter that the reality is you're not that important. You're important, but not that important. I just need you to do my will. Peter following God's will caused you, me, and anyone else in here who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to be able to have that opportunity. Isn't God good? Amen. 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 God is so good. Now, the question is, although you have been afforded that opportunity to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, to receive him in your heart as your Savior, have you taken that opportunity? It would be a shame, after hearing all that Peter went through, to make sure that you, a Gentile, could have the opportunity of eternal life with Christ Jesus, to know that you walked out of this place without receiving that gift, that free gift. Amen? As I close in prayer, I would ask that you would prepare your heart. If you don't know Christ, prepare your heart. Open your mind, open your heart to him right now. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that we had together today, Lord. Just to hear your word and to understand all the steps that you took so that I could come to know you as my Lord and Savior. Father, there's times when we're at a place where we're just tired, we're worn out. I'm sure Peter was tired. He spent time raising people from the dead. He raised Aeneas. Then he raised Tabitha. And the people were all around. They wanted to be around him. And I'm sure he just wanted to escape just to get some peace. And you brought him to the tanner's house, Lord. Father, I know there's times when you take us to the tanner's house, Lord. Place where we don't want to be, and you prepare our hearts to be used. You prepare our hearts to receive what you're telling us as you speak to us. And you change us from the inside out. Father, we thank you for that. We honor you for that. We love you for that. And we ask that you would just give us strength to do your will and go where you want us to go, say what you want us to say, do what you want us to do. Father, we thank you for that. Father, right now, there may be somebody in here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, I ask right now that you open that heart right now, that you would open that person's heart to receive you. If there is someone in here that doesn't know Jesus, that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, with everyone's eyes closed and your heads bowed, I ask you to pray with me. It's a simple prayer of salvation, asking Jesus into your heart. Father, I say this prayer with me. I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross because of my sin. But Lord, he rose again on that third day, and he is at the right hand of the Father right now. I believe that, and I believe he did that for me. And I'm asking right now that Jesus would come into my heart. The Holy Spirit would fill me and change me from the inside out. I ask you to change me, Lord. My heart says yes. In Jesus' name I pray. Now with all eyes closed and heads bowed, if that was your prayer, right where you're sitting, would you just raise your hand? Amen, I see that hand. I see that hand. Father, we thank you so much for hearts that have changed today, Lord. Father, we praise you for everything that you do in our lives, Lord, that you're there for us, Lord. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you. It's in Jesus' name I pray.